set apart. That guy's there, but he kind of looks like he's not. He's kind of just like checked out. And he looks like he's photoshopped in because, well, he probably is. But we live in a world that's going all kinds of different directions. And God says, look, fix your eyes on me. Love me. Follow me. I'm here for you. You've heard the phrase, come to Jesus, right? You have a come to Jesus meeting? I see some people in here that I know are bosses. Most of them are moms. But the reality is, you get a little come to Jesus meeting with your kid without even mentioning Jesus. It's like, wake up. Well, this come to Jesus idea as a Christian is that you would come to him in repentance, you come to him in confession, you come to him in celebration, you come to him in love, you come to him in saying, I need you. The greatest news about that is what we shared about the gospel. He came for you first. You don't have to come to him out of your own strength, muster it up, get those bootstraps going. No, man, he came for you first. Remember John 3:16? Is anybody just bold enough to just stand up and blurt it out? Some people hold up signs with it, but how about you? Are you ready to stand up and proclaim John 3:16 for us really quick? Anybody? Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Snaps for you. That's impressive. Nicely done. Whilst holding a baby. Oh my goodness, women are unbelievable. You guys, he loved us so much that he came for us. Be encouraged. Being set apart doesn't mean you have to say to the rest of the world, hey, go to hell. It's actually not. It's like I'm gonna live a life that's different from what's happening around here while I'm here. You're in the world, but not of it. And Romans is this letter to this church that Paul hasn't even been to yet. He longs to go there, and we'll talk about that a little bit in what we look at today. But he wants to go there. He didn't plant it. He didn't even water it until he wrote this letter. But he wanted to go there. And when he did end up going there, does anybody remember how he went there? I mean, besides on a boat and all kinds of craziness and almost died multiple times. He went
as a prisoner.
As a prisoner. And then he got out of prison. And then he went in for a second term of prison. And history tells us that he got his head cut off. Never making it to Spain. Never really making it out of Rome, and yet it had a huge impact there. But he was a part of what God was already doing there. He's like, man, I dig what you guys got going on there. And you can listen to last week's message if you like want to look at a little bit of the intro to this. But we went through seven verses, the first seven verses of Romans 1. We're going to go through 8 through 15 today. There's some really cool stuff. I definitely want to be able to get you out on your way. Can I just say something really quick? It's kind of like a personal thing. Plumbers, hi. So happy to see you. All right, I'm done. Okay. Everyone else, I love you too. I said hi already. But hi. Okay. Verse 8 of Romans 1. First, he says, I don't know if you know this, but I just told you that we did an intro. He did something else first, but now this is his second first, right? Does that sound like anybody you've heard before? Not just me, but like, in conclusion, and then four conclusions later, I'm concluding. Well, for him, he's like, look, this is what I'm about is Jesus. I'm his slave. I'm all about serving him and loving him because he gave me life. And then he goes, first off, with you, friends, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. He just spills it out. I just want to thank God for you. I literally am saying that I proclaim before God, I swear to God that I pray for you all the time. I'm thankful for you, and I'm praying for you. So that's the first two things I want to look at today that we can learn from Paul. Be thankful and be prayerful. What are some things that are easy for you to be thankful for? Anybody?
Family,
straight up. What else?
I'm breathing.
What's that?
I'm breathing.
Yeah, amen. Breathing, and then you can see your family. Sweet.
Comfort. What?
Comfort.
Church family.
Church family. Nice. Amen.
Salvation.
Salvation. What were you saying, Reed?
Provision.
Salvation, provision, indoor plumbing. What else?
My job.
Amen. Provision in that way, but also being stretched and all the different things that jobs can do. So let me ask you, what are some things that are difficult to be thankful for?
People.
Who said people? Was that Michelle? She's a teacher. I just totally spit and you didn't get hit. Good job. Gosh, the older I get. Kathy, is that why you sit up there? Smart woman. People. I've told you before, one of my mentors, fathers in the faith, he said ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people leading it, and also the people who are in it, serving and being served. But yeah, it's hard to be thankful for people. What else? It's hard to be thankful for.
Stress.
I'm very curious, Phoenix. What is it hard to be thankful for, buddy? Okay. Amen. He's thankful for Jesus. If I may, sometimes it's hard to be thankful for Jesus because we actually don't believe him. I've watched it. Not in other people's lives, in my own. He's a standard that's literally too hard to keep. I find myself being super grateful and praising God for Jesus, but I know that you weren't saying that, Phoenix, but I'm going to jump on that and say sometimes it's hard if we're being honest. So long ago, we don't see him now. Was he all that he was? And then you have a society that says, no, sacrifice, that's just dumb. Don't do that. You get railroaded. Sacrifice is rough. Jesus is known for his sacrifice. Yet, he's the king of heaven's armies. Really quick, what else is hard to be thankful for?
Loss.
Correction. I love watching other people get corrected. That's so great. Accountability. Difficulties. You guys familiar with how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? Lots of suffering. Lots of challenge. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I remember as a boy in fifth grade, our teacher cut open a cocoon to show us just how jam-packed all that was. You know that it killed the butterfly that was in there, right? I just remember thinking, man, that struggle is so profound. Why in the world would they struggle so much? And I don't know. I didn't design it. God did. But in that cocoon where there's barely any room, that thing almost dies in the struggle. It's got its wings inside there. It grows, obviously. But there's a point where there's not enough room. And so it fights and scratches and claws and literally chews its way out of there. If you fast forward that, it can't fly. If you help it along, just let me get it a little crease here. It can't fly. To be thankful for hard things is really, really difficult. And really, really important. He's thanking God for people he hasn't seen, but he's heard about. And he prays for them without ceasing. I love this, if you can, just again with me on verse 6. For God is my witness. And then he says, this is the God whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Last week we looked at, he says, it's the gospel of God. Jesus is the Son, the Father is the Son, the Holy Spirit is the Son. It's called the Trinity. But he's like, look, this is who is my witness. I cannot cease mentioning you. And so, what do we find ourselves praying for, you guys? What do you pray for in your life?
Guidance.
Outstanding. What else? Discernment, that's understanding and deciding even. But discernment, being able to see what's going on. What else do you pray for?
Strength.
Patience. Pray for patience. And then you get all kinds of opportunities to exercise patience. People are like, don't pray for patience. Yeah, like God's like, well, they didn't ask for it, so I'm not giving them anything to have to rely on me for. What else do we pray for?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Amen.
Healing.
Healing. Good.
Others.
Outstanding.
Family.
Amen. Family. When you guys are praying for others, including maybe especially your family, do you pray like provision and good things and peace and all that? Do you also pray for them to change? Because I find myself when Kathy and I would be in arguments, which is super rare because we're basically perfect. 34 years of imperfection has led me to be very sarcastic. But I've found myself, the older I've gotten, praying less for her to change and more for me to change. That my eyes would be able to see her better and hear her better. My ears would hear her better. I'm not always that way. Sometimes I'll be like, God, help her to figure out just how wrong she is. And she says things like, you know, I love you, but I don't really like you right now. You guys, I'm thankful and I'm prayerful for the people close to me. This guy is writing to people he hasn't even met yet, and he can't get them off his mind. Do you find yourself praying for and thankful for people you don't even know? Do you find yourself praying for the neighbors that you don't know? We've got a neighbor recently who's a Christian who anonymously says, you need to clean up your act. You're not showing the love of Christ like we think you should. I'm not trying to be rude, but clean up the debris and clean up the trash that might be in your churchyard. And there's some graffiti. Some guy or a girl named Pockets left us a little something. And it was just so simple. I think we just kind of left it. But actually, rather than being mad, I found myself praying and thanking God for this anonymous Christian neighbor. And not just, Lord, help them to stub their toe and realize how much they need you. But like, God, thank you that they thought enough to reach out. I would love to know who they are, not so I could be like, what's good, bro? You want some? None of that. Might even be a sis, and I really don't want to get beat up by a woman, but it's not the first time, but but you guys, I'll move on, but being prayerful and thankful, I'm going to invite you to let that be a part of your everyday life. Be prayerful for things that you don't like. Prayerful in ways that you would be transformed, but they would be transformed and they would be provided for. Do you pray for the goodness of people? We hear Jeremiah 29:11, right? And it's like, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Do you know that before all that it says, pray for the peace and prosperity of the town you live in? There's so many people still to this day that are moving out here because they can afford it, but they want to build up enough equity to be able to get out of here. Good enough for Sultan. Good enough for the Sky Valley. What about praying for the peace and the prosperity of this place and looking for it? That's what I think the neighbor anonymously is saying. Is like, look, let's beautify this place. Let's elevate it. Let's make it look better. He or she said as much. My first response wasn't, God, thank you for this wonderful neighbor. First response is, who are you? Why would you go anonymous? If we have Christ, let's be real. Maybe because they knew I was going to make a sermon illustration out of it. I don't know. But I am thankful. But do you find yourself prayerful and thankful, thankful and prayerful about things that are hard? Do you find yourself doing these wonderful disciplines of the Christian faith only when things are going the way you want them to? Because I can tell you, being thankful and prayerful, those two don't always go hand in hand. We tend to pray for things that are a bummer. Things for we want provision, we want all this kind of stuff. But what about being thankful in prayer? What about being prayerful in your thanksgiving? A lot of cool ways that this can happen. So he says this, look, I do this without ceasing. I encourage you to try to spend 5 minutes every day, minimum, being thankful. I encourage you to spend 15 minutes in your day being prayerful. I could be getting into the live it out stuff, but boy, do I have something else for you in live it out, so go check that out. Let's go to verses 11 through 12. So we're in a letter. This is to this church he's never been to, the Roman Christians, the Gentile Christians, and the Jewish Christians. He's trying to hit them up. He's like, look, I pray that I'll be able to succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I have these things and I want to give them to you, he says. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Yes, I feel like you could probably get the you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. That's fine. Let's go a little bit deeper, though. You weren't gifted just so you could have gifts. Dear friend, you're gifted to use them, to bless other people. Let's check it out in 1 Corinthians 12. You're in Romans. Keep your finger there. If you're like, finger, bro, I'm watching on the screen. Good. Then just put your finger on the screen. I don't know. Just look up there. But we got 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. It's just one book next. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. Paul says this. Pardon me. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one. He says the same thing two different ways. So it is with Christ. So it is with church. So it is with Jesus' body. So it is with his bride. There's many, many different parts, but one body. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And here's a little snapshot of something that we're going to be looking at in July. Let's go back to Romans 12 for a second. Romans 12, 15. He says this idea that there's many different parts. They're supposed to help one another. Look, in 1 Corinthians 12, it also talks about, like, if there's one part that says, I'm not that part, so I don't count. He's like, no, the body needs all its parts. I get it. Some of you have had some things removed, gallbladders, tonsils, feet, toes. You're still here. Praise God. But like, we were made to have a body that's whole and complete, and each part helps. But I love how he says this in Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Hey, celebrate with those who are celebrating. That's a little easier to do than the next one. Weep with those who weep. Hey, go through it with people. We weren't meant to be by ourselves. God said that's the one thing in all creation that wasn't good, is that man was by himself. And he made woman in his own image. And he made woman to balance him out and woman to help him. But it wasn't just a marriage thing. It was relationship. Not everybody's married, but everybody needs to be in a family. Everybody needs to be in with other people. And he's saying, look, this mutual encouragement literally is that. Let me help you. You help me. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so are you. What are you doing with what you've been given to bless others? I love that Paul says, look, I've got this desire. I can't wait. I'm longing to see you that I could give you something. Do you know how often we long to see other people because they are going to do something for us? Like, oh, I want to get something from you. And it's not just kids at Christmas or kids when they see grandma or kids when they see somebody who comes back from a trip. Oh, how was your trip? What'd you get me? This is different, you guys. This is this. I'm so stoked to be able to bless you. What a great attitude. But it could look a little bit like cockiness, like, hey, guess who's here? God's gift. Bless you. And that's not what he's saying. It's not what he's doing. He's saying, look, I've been gifted by God. If you go back into 1 Corinthians and read all of it, there's this head of the body. His name is Jesus. He's the one that gets glorified by all of the body parts doing what they're supposed to do. He tells them to do it. They do it, and it all flows. There's these circular systems and all this kind of cool stuff that happens. And it's so beautiful because we are actually gifted, it says in Ephesians 4, to bless other people. Use what you've been given to bless other people. That's what he's saying, not God's gift is here, kiss the ring. He's like, God has gifted all of us, so let's help each other. So back to Romans 1. We'll go 13 through 15, and if you're thinking, oh my goodness, Aaron might be done early. Yeah. All right, Romans 1, 13 through 15. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. I want to go to the Roman Empire seat of everything. I want to go to this city. But his ministry to other people, his home people, and then other Gentiles in parts of Asia, what they would call Asia Minor and all that, what we would call Turkey. He was doing so much ministry, he couldn't get away to go on like his little bucket list of, oh yeah, I'm going to go to Rome, I'm going to go to Spain. But he's like, look, I want to be there in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I want to come and bless you. I've been gifted by God to be this disciple, this apostle that preaches to the Gentiles. And I want to go to the seat of power for the Gentiles, and I want to bless them that they could bless everybody else. He's like, I know that God's already doing stuff, because if you remember, he's like, I thank God because your faith is being proclaimed all over the world. I don't even know who planted that church, Paul says. I just want to get in on it. I like doing what God's doing. You guys know where this church started by any chance? I mean, we can go all the way back to Jesus. Amen. Good job. Good church answer. Let's just fast forward a little bit. Where we came from, Cascade. Cascade and Monroe. They didn't go, oh, there's so many pagans out there in this Upper Sky Valley area. Those poor, poor people, we should bless them. We were like, let's get in on what God's doing up there in Gold Bar and Startup and Sultan. Let's go. Let's be a part of it. We started in the high school. Before that, we started on the covered basketball court of the Boys and Girls Club before it burned down. You guys, we crossed a bridge to get here because God was doing something, and he said, "You better, come on, I want you to be a part of it." We're still a part of what he's doing. We're not it. In a very small town, we're the largest church. I find no privilege of my own made that happen. The glory of God, and just because something's bigger. I mean, seriously, my friend said it's like being the tallest little person. I was like, is that supposed to be a compliment? What are you? Look, I love where I'm at. And it's not like I've had people beating down the door. Hey, Aaron, you should come be at our church. I'm not looking, and nobody's looking for me. Y'all are stuck with me until Jesus says, get out. But I love this place because God's already been doing stuff. You know that people got saved? You know that this building, before we got into it, was actually a church with other people that were reaching people for Jesus? We didn't come in and go, we'll fix it. I mean, take a look. It's not fixed. But we're a part of what God's doing. And he's saying, look, I just want to do that. I want to be a part of that with you. I'm not sick. I've got allergies. I coach baseball. Okay. Can we just get that out on the system? I've sneezed so much today. I don't even, don't touch my left arm. I'm be hugging people like one-handed. Thanks, Phoenix. Listen, I want to reap some harvest. I want to plant and water. I want to see things happening. Then he says something that so doesn't sound like a compliment, but it's beautiful. I am under obligation, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. This is non-Greek speaking Gentiles. We hear barbarian and we think, right? No. Barbarians are people that don't speak Greek, but they're still Gentiles. So I'm under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. This obligation literally means that he is a debtor to these people. I'm indebted to you. God called me to tell you the good news, to be a part of what's happening in your life, and I can't wait to get in on this some more. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you, also who are in Rome. Again, the capital city, the Gentile Empire, there's all kinds of people that don't know about Jesus there. Even though there's a church in Rome, he's like, let's make it bigger. There was churches out here. We wanted to join what God was doing and reach more people. We welcome more people planting churches in this area. We want to see more people reach for the good news of Jesus Christ. The more people that are saved, the more people that are growing in Christ, the more people that are proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the more people are going to be saved and grow in Christ and proclaim. And you see what this is called? Well, let's go back to what Jesus said real quick. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And believe it or not, we will finish with this. I'm serious. Okay, you just have to believe it then. Watch. And Jesus came and said to them, this is after he rose from the dead. Some people worshipped him. Some people didn't believe. They're just like, oh, what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. How many nations, church?
All.
Including our own. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You guys, this is what we were called to. This is what Paul's so stoked about. This is why he wants people to know. And this is why he's eager to proclaim it. Look, we've got to teach some things that the world doesn't like. Shoot, if we're being honest, we got to teach some things we don't like. You ever done the, well, I mean, I know this sounds like kind of bigoted, or this sounds kind of rude, or this sounds kind of judgmental, but what you're doing is wrong. But that, I love you, but that's what the Bible says. It's like, what? I mean, there's some things that I would just as soon leave out. I don't like talking about money. I don't really like talking about sex and sexual expression, gender identification, all those things, because it's an immediate, I know it. That's what we do. Bunch of judgmental people. That's why I don't go to church. But I want to proclaim all that he said, not just that. Look, sexual immorality which we're going to look at in greater detail throughout this book, but later on in the fall. Sexual morality is far from just same-sex attraction or adultery. Sexual morality is any sexual expression that doesn't honor God. Can you be any more offensive to a world that identifies anything goes? And yet, I want to teach all that he taught. And he didn't just teach about sex. So we talked about all kinds of different things. And with this, we want people to know Jesus. So how are you going to move towards him today? What is it going to be for you? What are you going to take from this rambling, talking about snot on my sleeve and all kinds of other thing message? What could you take from this? Some of you need to go from this moment and confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You know he is, and now it's time and you proclaim it. Lord, you're it. And you'll be saved. You need to say, I need you, and I'm sorry that I've been acting like I don't. Some of you, though, are already there, and you need to be more thankful and prayerful. You need to look for reasons to be thankful. You need to understand that when he talks about obligation, he's saying there's one debt that you need to have, and that's to love one another. And loving people better is where you've been called, and God is putting his finger on it, and that's at home, and that's in your community, that's at your workplace, that's on your commute if you have one. But he says you need to also be thankful for Christians. Some of you are able to pray and be thankful for and even reach out to non-Christians, but other Christians, and they just kind of bug you. That's actually where the love's supposed to start, is at home. But for others of you, you're not exactly sure how to mutually encourage somebody. Start asking God to show you how you could encourage someone and not like, okay, now my back. The word's really clear that we actually need to look at others' interests, not just our own. So look for ways to encourage people. You know, encouragement is, I want to encourage you to shut your mouth. That's not an encouragement. Okay, that's an exhortation. But like encouraging people is like building them up, trying to help them. Like, I want to mutually encourage you. And then you might have to ask, like, can you help me? I need some help. I don't see everything. If you're married, you don't really have to ask for it. It's coming. Finally, this eager to preach, tell the good news. Some of you, it's time for you. Take that step of proclaiming the good news. Get outside of yourself. Get outside of your comfort zone. Listen to this in this little... Get outside of your comfort zone. Let me finish my thought and tell people the good news. Some of you need to go away. You need to literally go to other communities. You need to go to other countries and proclaim the good news. And if God's been telling you that, then he's been talking to me about that too, not just for you, but in my own life. I love Haiti so much. Haiti is such a terrible mess right now. They have so much death there that they have to burn the bodies because nobody's coming to pick them up. And if you go to pick them up, you might get killed too. It's not that long ago that I was there. And I'm like, Lord, do you want me to go back there? Surely you don't want me to have to be burned. Oh. I don't know what to do with it, but I'm praying about it. And some of you need to pray too. Listen to this, and then I'll let you go. 10:15. Right on the knot. Supposed to be done 5 minutes ago. All right. Romans 1:14. Here's a note in this scripture journal study edition. Paul was under an obligation to Jesus Christ. He was indebted to Jesus, who appointed him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, which is the Greeks. Those who spoke Greek and adopted Greek culture in the Greco-Roman world. And then the barbarians, those outside of Greek culture, neither of which were unfamiliar to Paul, but he was by race and by religious affiliation a Jew who was so set apart, they wouldn't even talk to Gentiles. They certainly wouldn't eat with them. And he's like, oh, but Jesus, who is perfect, came to all these imperfect people and gave himself. So I'm indebted to him because he set me free, and now I got to show people that they can be set free too. Who can I bless next? Woo! Be strong. Be courageous. And let it be contagious. Don't keep it to yourself. Even when people say, shut your mouth. You're like, well, you can shut my mouth, but God's going to proclaim it through the trees. Proclaim it through somebody else. I don't want to be quiet about this. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for my friends, for my family. I pray, God, for salvation in this place and outside of this place, that we would take it with us, take the show on the road, that we would be obligated. We'd be the kind of people that want to make a big deal out of you. And when people tell us to be quiet, may we be proclaimers, not to frustrate them, but to help set them free. And God, may we be the kind of people who are also thankful for this partnership that we looked at over the weekend with the men, this koinonia, this fellowship, this sharing. We need you. And we need each other. So help us to be ready for that. Help us to be here for that. Help us to proclaim that all over the place. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.